This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Neurologist Oliver Sacks has said, any disease introduces a doubleness into life, an it, with its own needs, demands, and limitations. The new novel, The Fatigue Artist, opens with that quote. The novel proceeds to chronicle one 40-year-old woman's mysterious loss of energy, how she is transformed by illness, and how she looks for help in conventional medicine and acupuncture. My guest is novelist Lynn Sharon Schwartz. Her other novels include Disturbances in the Field, Leaving Brooklyn, and Rough Strife. In the Los Angeles Times, Daphne Merkin said about Schwartz, "It's good to have an interpreter of our tribal doings." Here's a short reading by Schwartz from The Fatigue Artist, in which the main character first notices her symptoms.
"I dropped my keys on the way in. That's the latest symptom. Things leap from my hands. Mostly small, slippery things. Bottle caps, paper clips, the pen as I write this, but often larger things as well, magazines or socks or fruits I'm squeezing at the open-air market. Thoughts, too, slide from my grasp, but that's another story. I've been worried lately about the things dropping, the supernatural exhaustion, the hypersensitivity to noise, not to mention the more mundane signs, sore throats, headaches, stomach cramps. Oh, and not minding the heat. Everyone complains that the weather is tropical, unbearable, but I haven't noticed except in a mental way. I hear bulletins on the radio. I check the thermometer. It's because I myself am so hot. Not my skin especially, but inside. No sudden waves of heat, such as my former editor Gretchen, a case of early menopause, would describe when she phoned to prod me about my books, but a steady heat steaming out from the center with each thump of my heart, clouding me with mist. Feverish people say they're on fire, but I feel like the cauldron itself containing a stew that simmers dully along, or like a bag of sand left out in the sun. Between the outside weather and the inner is no disparity. The weather is merely my projection. They say illness makes you solipsistic, the world a mere projection or translation. If this is illness, it could be any number of things. I'm not eager to find out."
So what is the diagnosis for your heroine?
Ultimately, she finds out that she has a chronic fatigue virus, which can come in many forms, and the book becomes a search, a kind of quest for where did it come from? How did she get it? As you know, a lot of people don't believe this exists at all, but many forms of it are a virus that's detectable, and she has a virus, so she has a respectable form of it. But still, she feels that it's not so much, not only a virus, but it's some kind of vulnerability, and she tries to find out what it is in her life, in her society, in her past, what that has left her open to this invasion, and that's how she thinks of it. And in the course of it, she gets to investigate quite a bit about contemporary urban life.
Why did you want to make illness a central part of your story?
Well, that it's for a very personal reason, because I too had an illness of this kind, and I began to write the book as my own quest, which is somewhat different from the heroine's, and she's quite different from me. My own quest was to be able to do something. While I had the illness, I didn't know how long I would have it. In fact, I was sick, pretty sick, 3 or 4 months, and then spent 2 years in a sort of semi-sick state, but I was getting about. But I didn't know. I thought I might be sick for much longer. And I didn't want to waste the time. I wanted to feel that when I emerged from this, and I was determined to emerge, I would have something. I'm a writer, and what I wanted to have was a book. And so I started writing the book in an attempt to find a way to live with the illness, kind of incorporate it into what I did. I felt since it was in me and it was feeding on me, then I would feed on it, too, and we'd have a kind of symbiotic relationship.
That's a nice way of looking at it.
I try to find a good way to look at it, yes.
Laura, your main character, doesn't go to the doctor immediately. It takes her a while, and all of her friends start urging her to see somebody. She finally does. How long did it take you to actually see somebody?
Not very long, because both of us have had bad experiences with doctors, but she was much more angry and reluctant to go to a doctor than I was. And I had quite a nice doctor, and I went and was told, it took one or two visits with the blood tests and so forth, and finally he said, "Look, this is what you've got." It was an Epstein-Barr virus, he called it. And he said, there's not much I can do for you. Rest, but don't rest too much. And he said a lot of things that were kindly, and he tried to be helpful, but there wasn't much he could do. And eventually I did seek out Chinese medicine, just as Laura in the book does, with a character I call the witch. And that worked out very well. I felt that I was helped by it.
What did you like about acupuncture?
Well, it's very restful. You just lie there, and the needles go into you, and they start stirring your energy around. It wasn't that I liked having the needles in me. I didn't feel them. They're not painful. But I had a wonderful acupuncturist, and I felt that she transmitted something very healing in her treatment, and she was very encouraging. What was most encouraging was the fact that she insisted that I would get better, and I felt I was not in this alone anymore, that there was someone with me and someone was taking care, and it would be over at some point.
And the fatigue artist, your main character, Laura, is kind of dropping things, and she feels dropping things is just an almost a symbol of what's going on in her life, that things are just kind of out of her control. And the acupuncturist suggests to her that she eats tight foods, foods that cohere around a core like Brussels sprouts or cabbage. And in that respect, acupuncture can be a very almost metaphorical mm-hmm. approach to medicine. As a writer who uses metaphors in your work, how did you feel about using a system of medicine that also uses metaphor?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you really put your finger on it, because I love that this whole book is built on the idea of metaphor, of things being translated into other things, just as the Tai Chi teacher in the book and the translator work together. So I think and I didn't really think of it until you said it, but maybe what does appeal to me and did in Chinese medicine is that everything is a metaphor. Everything is a metamorphosis into some other form. Now, I don't know if this really is true for tight foods or loose foods, but I like to think of it because it makes the universe not only a poetical place, but it makes it, in a way, a more orderly, cohesive place, a more understandable place. Things are not chaotic, but there are certain basic principles, or certain basic shapes or paradigms that keep repeating themselves over and over.
Lynn Sharon Schwartz is my guest. Her new novel is called The Fatigue Artist. Let's take a short break and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with Lynn Sharon Schwartz. Her new novel is called The Fatigue Artist. It's about a woman who gets a form of chronic fatigue syndrome, which Lynn Sharon Schwartz also had for a time. I'm wondering what it was like for you to have an illness that a lot of people don't really believe exists.
Well, there were people who didn't think there was anything wrong with me. People tell you you're depressed or you're tired or you're evading life. But most people, I must say, were sympathetic. As with any illness, with friends and family, you know, people are very concerned at the beginning. And then the longer it goes on, they kind of forget. And I've done this myself with friends who have had long-term illnesses. At the beginning, you shower more attention on the person, and then you forget, or you think, well, they should be better by this time. So everybody was fine, except that I felt it's a very isolating illness. Another thing is that it's not an illness that makes you look terrible. You get a lot of sleep, and if you wish, you can eat right. So you don't look bad. You don't look ravaged by anything. And people would always say, oh, you look wonderful. And I'd say, oh, yes, I'm getting a lot of sleep. And I didn't have to say, I didn't tell them. Maybe it was 10, 12, 14 hours a day. Plenty of rest. I did look stressed. There were people who were very close to me. My sister, for example, could see that I looked anxious and bewildered. But mostly I looked all right. So there's that problem. It was isolating. It was not a good experience all around.
Were you able to write when you were sick?
Yes, that was a saving grace, and I'm so glad that I'm able to write through almost anything. I couldn't do much else. But I wrote this book, the book turned out to take longer than the illness. I wanted them to end simultaneously. I had this kind of mystical connection in my mind. But the way the book got written was a way of dealing with the illness. I would lie on my bed, and there was a point at the very beginning, the first 3 or 4 months, I could read a little bit, but it was hard to concentrate on difficult material. I could read magazines. But what I could do was talk on the phone. I could talk and I could listen. I could listen. I'm a very auditory person. And I would talk to friends. I'd have these long gossipy conversations with mostly with women friends, and they'd tell me stories. And he did this, and I did this, and we said this. And I found when I would hang up, I brooded over these stories because I didn't have anything else to think about. And I became very involved in the anecdotes people were telling me, and I was living through my ear. Things were coming in. And after a while, I got the idea of writing down what I was hearing after one particularly fascinating anecdote from a friend. And I began to write down everything people said to me. And, you know, I love to write, and I write with a pen when I write my books. I start out with a pen, and later I put them on a computer. But the act of writing with a pen in a notebook feels to me like I'm living, I'm functioning. And so I wrote down all these stories. And before I knew it, I had a notebook full of stories, gossip, which I could never possibly print because you can't do that to your friends. But I had stories. I typed them up, I put them on the computer, and by this time I was beginning to get better, a little better, able to sit up at a computer sometimes, an hour or two a day. I would seize whatever energy I had. If I got up at 6 o'clock and I had energy, I'd go to the computer then and then sleep the rest of the day. And soon I had a pile of wonderful material, and I thought, is there any way I can transform these stories into a narrative? First, I had to change all the stories drastically for the reasons I've already stated, because you don't want to take people's lives. So I changed them all, and then I tried to find a heroine who could somehow weave them into a narrative, who could either embody them, live these stories, or have friends who live these stories. And that's how the book took shape.
I don't know if you've been through this yourself, but I found that my experience of being sick as a child is really different from my experience as being sick as an adult. I was never very sick as a child. And so if I had the flu for a few days, terrific. You know, you don't have to go to school. My mother would wheel in the little portable TV into my bedroom, and I could sit and watch television most of the day. And it was actually a very pleasant break. Being sick as an adult is really, there's just no advantage to it. You know, even when I get to take off a day from work, what I end up doing is working at home while still feeling sick. It doesn't buy you anything as an adult like it did when you were a kid. Did you go through this yourself?
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. When you were talking about being sick as a child, I felt the same way, although we didn't have the portable TV. I'm older, I think. But yes, it was fun to stay home from school and all the things you stated. I had scarlet fever as a child, and my mother was quite worried and kept me in for 6 weeks, but I only remember having a wonderful time and eating lots of ice cream and reading lots of books and so on. But aside from that, I was not very sick either. As an adult, I hate being sick, and I think it's maybe because we feel our own mortality, and maybe we know what sickness means. And we worry, and the older we get, of course, the more we worry. I mean, when you're sick in your 20s or 30s, of course, it's a drag and you don't like it. But when you're sick in your 40s or 50s, you always worry. Maybe this is the real illness. You know, my terminal illness is coming. Maybe I will never again. It's that feeling of never again that you don't have as a child. As a child, you know you'll get better. You assume you'll get better. But as an adult, with this illness, for example, I felt maybe I'll never again be able to run for a bus, or I'll never again be able to swim laps, or many things that I would do. Never again be able to stay out late at night and go dancing. As it turned out, I recovered and I'm able to do these things. But it's that feeling, this may be it. The sense of loss is not only unpleasant, but there's an element of panic in being sick, I think, now.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, there's certainly an element of panic and chronic fatigue. I don't know if you've been sick as an adult, but if you have, you know what that panic feels like.
Do you feel very vulnerable now, even though you're better?
Yeah, I feel I have to be careful. I feel that I do think that viruses remain in the body, but they're dormant, and they can be awakened, and I don't know by what. So I have a sense of being more careful, maybe than getting enough sleep, and I wouldn't overeat or overdrink. I probably wouldn't overdrink anyway because I can't. I fall asleep. But I'm more careful physically than I really want to be. And I think as time passes, I won't have to be so careful. I've now felt better for about a year and a half or so, and more and more I don't think about chronic fatigue. But I know it's there. I almost have a funny relationship with the virus now. I feel I have to keep it at bay. I have to propitiate it, be good to it so it'll stay quiet, like feed it the way you feed a giant in a cage, to keep it still and not provoke it. But this is all magic that I do in my head, and I don't claim that it has any basis in reality.
Lynn Sharon Schwartz, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Lynn Sharon Schwartz's new novel is called The Fatigue Artist. This is Fresh Air.